In with the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'm going to see if Councilman Kelly remembers how to do that since he's been on vacation for a while. Thank you. Let's go ahead with the roll call, please.
Sure. Councilmember Fonzie?
Here.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Here.
Mayor O'Malley?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Next item is approval of the agenda. And before we vote on that, I do want to mention, if you haven't realize that the item that was going to be C1, having to do with Walmart in a larger discussion, is been postponed. So it's not on the agenda. I would ask our city manager to give a little background on what the item was that we were going to hear, and the review that notice has gone out that is going to be postponed a little bit of time.
My advice on that would be that perhaps during the updates by the city manager, she could make a couple of comments on it.
Okay, very good. Yeah, it's not really has anything to do with the agenda, but the agenda has changed. So if anyone's here for that particular Walmart item, it has been taken off the agenda. So with that, I'd entertain a motion for approval of the agenda.
So move with changes.
Okay, let's have a roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor O'Malley, motion passes by vote.
Yes, thank you. And we have no presentations this evening. Next item is the consent calendar, and I am going to pull item 4, one the city clerk has to read in a couple of comments, but I also wanted to have a little update on that because it's a little different than in the usual, though it is a normal consent calendar item. Any other item wishing to be pulled by the council or the public? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion on consent calendar items 1 through 3.
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Moreno, seconded by Councilman Sturdivant. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Consent calendar item number 4. First, I'd ask our city manager if you could explain that a little bit, then our city clerk, I think, needs to clarify a few points. The reason I wanted this to be pulled is, though it doesn't reference it here in the text, if you look at the body, it's talking about a community service district for Walmart. And so we've learned in Atascadero that if it's got Walmart in the body anywhere, we're going to make sure everyone understands that and has an opportunity to completely understand every component. So nothing to do with the item that was pulled. Could you just give a quick overview, Ms. City Manager?
Yes, the item, consent calendar item 4, is the notice of intent to form a landscape and lighting maintenance community facilities district for Walmart. This is basically notifying the public that on August 9th there will be a public hearing for this particular item. As part of the conditions of approval for both the Walmart and the Del Rio Marketplace item, they are required to maintain the sidewalk and improvements in front of their property. Formation of this district will provide that mechanism. I'm going to turn it over to Phil Dunsmore. It looks like he's the one that brought up the, is that you, Phil? The PowerPoint, and did a quick PowerPoint on that.
Thank you, Rochelle. And also wanted to bring up, we do have the consultant that has assisted us with this CFD. She's here tonight, Heidi, and I have another staff person, Kelly Gleason, who has assisted with putting the report together. So essentially what I would like to do is make myself available for questions. I will briefly go through just a couple of the key topics. As Rochelle mentioned, this is associated with conditions of approval for the Walmart project, and there was a requirement to put in place a funding mechanism for the maintenance of the landscaping and lighting and some of the public improvements there. And essentially, our muni code requires a maintenance of these frontage improvements. And it can either be done through this CFD process or it could be done by Walmart themselves. They chose to go this particular route, and that satisfies that condition of approval to go this particular route. This would be the boundary that would be established to encompass that CFD. This shows the Walmart site and the commercial lots that are adjacent to that, and this is essentially where that CFD would take effect. And as Rochelle mentioned tonight, it's just the notice of intent to move forward, and we'll be returning to you at a later date for the actual process of that community facilities district. And that second meeting, as it's noted on the slide here, would be scheduled for August.
Thank you. Any questions by council? First, Councilwoman Fonzie.
Yes, Phil, could you put that map up that you had on first, please? It looks different than the one you put on second. It includes the roadway, and is it actually included or excluded? If you flip back to the one we just saw, it appears to be excluded.
It's on the corner.
On the corner between parcel 2 and 3 and 1. They look like two separate pieces there.
I see someone approached the lectern. Did you want to speak to that question?
Yes, the roadway will be left out of the boundary because it's going to be an exempt parcel owned and maintained by the city. So it's not going to be a taxable parcel. So we left it out of the boundary. So the formal boundary of the CFD is made up of the legal description of the parcels to be owned by Walmart and whichever other businesses own the other two buildings.
Other questions, Councilwoman Fonzie?
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Councilman Kelly.
Did I hear you say that was going to be a city-owned road and maintained? Is that a new policy that we're taking on? I thought we weren't taking on new city roads.
I can respond to that. The city does not take any new local roads. When this was designed, it was intended that it would be our arterial and would eventually go behind those other parcels and all the way connect. So we do not accept any roads that just serve, you know, one neighborhood or subdivision, but we do accept our arterials and collectors for maintenance, any new arterials or collectors for maintenance. This was intended to be, I believe, an arterial, a collector. I knew I'd get it wrong. So this was a collector. So at the time that we conditioned the project, it was determined that the city would maintain this road.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Other council questions? And could you restate your name? I believe staff introduced you, but just for the record.
Heidi Sheppy, Albert Webb Associates.
Thank you. Any other questions for staff or the consultant present? And then I'm going to open it up to the public. Any member of the public having a question on this item? Seeing none, I'll close public comment, bring it back to council for further discussion or a motion.
Can we remind the mayor about the clerks?
Can I make a clarification?
Yes, go ahead. Thank you.
On draft resolution B, exhibit B, so that would be page 63 and 64 of your packet. On the top of page 63, it says March 1st, which should actually be reflected as May 1st. And then at the bottom of page 64, it says 2%, and then numerically it says 5%, and the letters should actually say 5 instead of 2. So we just wanted to make those corrections.
Okay. And with that, I will, if anyone had a comment, I would reopen public comments since I should have had any discussion first. But seeing no one approach, we'll continue on, and I would entertain a motion.
Motion to approve consent item number 4 with the changes mentioned by our city clerk.
Second.
I have a motion by Councilman Sturdivant, seconded by Councilwoman Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Next is updates from the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor. The first item I want to talk about are mosquitoes. I know that's an exciting or pesky topic and a very big topic here, particularly mosquitoes around the lake, but all throughout the town. So many local residents know that Atascadero Lake is a landlocked pond with no natural water inflow to circulate and replenish the water supply. Unfortunately, mosquitoes tend to lay their eggs on top of water where there is little to no water circulation, and our lake meets that definition. Although the Atascadero Lake is a city-owned property and we are responsible for its maintenance, we must work in conjunction with other regulatory agencies. I know that we have discussed that many times. People think it's the city lake and that we could do what we want with it, but we do have to adhere to state regulations with that. And so as part of that, we have to get permission from Department of Fish and Wildlife, Regional Water Quality Control, and or Army Corps of Engineers, depending on what we're going to be doing with the lake. The insertion of mosquito fish would require permits from those regulatory bodies, and I think that one hits the magic of all three of them, because we'd also have to construct a fish screen and other infrastructure there at the dam. Trying to put something in the water so that it would prevent the mosquitoes from hatching. That, too, requires regulatory approval from a number of bodies. So we are very limited in actions we're allowed to take, including mosquito abatement measure altogether. Staff has investigated several lake vector control measures, all of which would be extremely costly to implement. We have found a product that on the low end that we might be able to put in the lake at a cost of $15,000 per treatment, but it would have to go through the review and permitting process. To go through those processes obviously would be another substantial additional cost and quite a bit of time. So we're continuing to work with Regional Water Quality Control and see if there is something that we can do that might be a more expedited process, as they tell us to plan on waiting for quite some time to get those permits, certainly not in time for this season. And we are trying to help improve water circulation with at least three aerators in the fountains. Certainly as the water becomes deeper and not quite as warm, we've had more success with less mosquitoes. And as you all know, an agreement was approved with the Friends of the Lake for them to construct a pipeline that will supply water from a private well. So those are all things that we're trying to do with the lake. It is a frustrating process. I think we're as frustrated with everybody else. It's going to require patience as we work through to see if there is something that is certainly more cost-effective and that we can do on a routine basis instead of having to go through this permit process. And we're also asking private property owners. We get a lot of inquiries from them about mosquitoes on their property. As you all know, once upon a time, there was a San Luis Obispo County managed a countywide vector control program. In 2010, they stopped that program due to a lack of funding. And so it is the responsibility of the property owners for mosquito abatement. Due to budgeting and staffing constraints, we don't have a vector control program. We've never been in the vector control business. We continue to not be it. So bottom line is property owners need to take care of that themselves. We do have some handouts that we can help property owners with any mosquitoes abatement. And residents should keep in mind that mosquitoes are most active from dusk to dawn. Mosquito bite prevention measures include staying indoors when mosquito activity is high, making sure that windows and doors have good screens, wearing long sleeve clothing and pants, wearing good insect repellent, certainly eliminating standing water on your property, and a number of other controls. So we have some nice handouts, I believe, that we're happy to give out here at the city for people that are interested. So that is what I know about mosquitoes. Next, the Atascadero Road Program. We're getting a lot of inquiries, rumors, misinformation out there about the Atascadero Road projects. There's several types of projects going on this summer, a lot of construction going on. Want to touch on a few of those types of things. Want to point people to our website. We are improving our website on road projects and on city projects altogether, trying to get that information out so people have the correct information. The road projects that we see the most questions about fall under several categories, and probably the biggest one right now is the Southern California Gas Pipeline project down El Camino Real. This was a project that I think we all thought would be a lot shorter than it has been, not to Southern California Gas's fault, but it has taken a lot longer to complete since than certainly they hoped and then we hoped. Takes place along El Camino Real, starting near Adobe Plaza and heading southward towards Santa Margarita. They've been replacing their high-pressure gas main in Atascadero, and the good news is it's in their final phases. I know everybody thought, oh, they're done, and then they tore up across the street from A-Town Deli again. What they were trying to do was connect at that period of time. So once the crews have finished and all the trenches are filled in, which they are getting really close to. I'm looking at the public works. Last week you thought it would be at the end of this week. I bet you this week it's probably a few weeks out. But we're getting very close to having all of that done. Once they complete all of that work, they will come back through and they will microsurface and restripe all of the disturbed portions of El Camino Real. So we had just done the El Camino Real project. They came in and said, hey, we have a right to tear up your road to do our utility. We said, yes, you do, but you have to put the road back in the condition you found it. They will be doing that and have been very gracious in that and a good partner. We expect Tim Mahoney or somebody from Southern California Gas to be coming to one of your next meetings and giving you a little bit of an update on that and another pipeline project that they will be doing here down by the high school. Much shorter project. Councilmember Moreno, yeah. A much shorter, easier project, but still a project that's going to be taking place here this summer. We have our road projects that are funded by F-14. Were there any questions on the Southern California Gas project? No. We also have our road projects funded by sales tax measure F-14. As you guys all know, we started receiving funds last June, and we quickly did groundbreaking on two very small, simple projects. Wanted to get those out while we had summertime and had funds. And in the meantime, we've been designing some of our 2015-2016 both maintenance projects, which you awarded tonight and should be getting going any time now, and the rehabilitation projects, which should be awarded fairly soon. You awarded a design contract earlier this spring. Those projects are currently out to bid, and we expect to be doing those. So we have a list of road maintenance projects on our website. If you go and you click on the F-14 down at the bottom, you can see all of our roads that are in the... I'm going to have Luke bring this up really quick. So he'll bring up our website here. Maybe. That's taking a little bit. On the bottom left-hand corner of our homepage, you'll see an F-14 button. If you click on that and you go to the roads listing, it's going to list every road that we have in the project for the next 5 years. That's done as part of your five-year CIP. We use the critical point management system to select which roads are going to be paved. The voters wanted to get that money to go towards local neighborhood roads. Every road on there is a local neighborhood road, not an El Camino or Morrill Road, but more of those where people live. You can go ahead and click through this. We are going to eventually have it where they have all of the roads in alphabetical order that are in the five-year CIP, so you could click on that, get more information about when that's out to bid or what the status is. bid documents, results, all of that type of stuff. So we continue to work on that. But if you have a question, is my road going to be done in the next 5 years, this is where you would go look for F-14 projects. We just completed Lakeview Drive. Well, let me get, while I'm here too, why don't we do show everybody the city projects, Luke? So if you go down to Public Works, and if you go to city projects, if you're not just interested in F-14 projects, but all of the projects in the city, you can click on a project like Centennial Bridge and Plaza Project, and that's going to have a lot of information about what's going on, what the project timeline is. We'll be adding pictures as we go along, renderings, those types of things. As the project moves down, the project pipeline will have a lot of information there. So there's a lot of information on our website. We encourage people to use it. Lakeview Drive, this was a project that was budgeted prior to the adoption of F-14, so no revenue from Measure F-14 was used to fund the Lakeview Drive project. It had been on the books for quite some time. We had used the critical point management system to select it as a road. It was funded primarily by grants from the state's Proposition 1B program and from the city's road maintenance funds. Not F-14, so as part of our match. We were very pleased at how smoothly the project proceeded, taking only 4 weeks. Have had a lot of compliments on how nice that looks, and that we're maintaining the pathway around it. So that was a very good project. Remember, the critical point management program doesn't fix just the worst roads in town. What the idea is to catch those roads so you can do the most cost-effective repair. Catch them before they fall into that next category of repair, which would substantially increase the cost. So the roads that we do are everything from our roads that look really good to the public, and they go, why are we doing anything with that? Because we can do something very cost-effectively and make it last a lot longer, to those that are in terrible shape and everything are in between. So this was one of those in-betweens. We also get a lot of questions about Walmart Del Rio road improvements. As we talked about, we'll talk about this a lot more when the final map is there. But there are certain road projects that the applicant, Walmart, will have to complete as part of that project. Road improvements along Del Rio, a couple of traffic lights, a roundabout, all of those are there. You can get more information on that on our website or come in and talk to us. Certainly when the final map comes, or the May 24th agenda had a list of all of the improvements that they will have to do. All of that is there and is available, and that is funded 100% by them, in addition to funding that they will be contributing towards some intersection improvements. So, again, look through our website, come ask city staff. We have a lot of information, and I can understand how the public's getting confused because there are so many different types of projects, funding sources. Is it a city project? Is it a developer project? There's a lot going on, and each project is a little unique, so please. We believe that all of the road improvement and maintenance activity going on is a good sign of great things to come, and we've got quite a few building and improvement projects in progress or in the works, and a great deal of interest is being generated in the business and investment community from both inside and outside the area as we invest in our infrastructure. The mayor had asked that I give a brief update on Walmart status. We had expected the Walmart final map to be on tonight's agenda. However, the Walmart team has requested a little bit more time to process the Walmart process the final map. The process of asking for an extension is very typical for a large development. There's a lot of conditions to obtain, particularly with this, that they have to complete prior to approval of that final map. Getting all of those things done is just running a little bit longer than we had all hoped. We do expect that it will be back on a future agenda within the next couple of months, 60 or days, 90 days or so. It is approval of the final map. This is a ministerial action by the council, which means you won't be adding extra conditions to the project or changing the project or deciding whether to approve or deny the project. If the final map was in substantial conformance with the tentative map, basically they're the same map, and if they have met the conditions of approval, council must approve the final map. So we will be showing you that these are the conditions of approval, this is how they have met them, this is your tentative map you approved, and the final map to determine that substantial conformance. The Saturday evening concerts in the park, I wanted to remind everybody this coming Saturday, July 2nd, will be the Jammies at the Atascadero Lakes Bandstand beginning at 6:30. Concerts are free and open to the public, thanks to our very generous sponsors. We've had a lot of wonderful sponsors that make these community concerts a reality. Without them, we could not do it. So please take a look at those and thank those sponsors. We also have Ice Cream Zoofari coming up. That's going to be Saturday, July 16th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Charles Paddock Zoo. Tickets include all-you-can-eat ice cream, popsicles, sundaes, and root beer floats. It's always a really fun evening, and everyone gets to stroll through the zoo on one of Atascadero warm summer evening, enjoying the animals while also enjoying lots of cool and delicious treats. They have a lot of different flavor ice cream. I've been a scooper for the last several years. It's always fun to hear, ooh, this was good or that was good. This year, Doc Bernstein's has offered to help out with the ice cream, and so we'll be serving Doc Bernstein's ice cream at Ice Cream Zoofari. So please, come on out. It's a fun night. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions council may have.
Council questions. First, Councilwoman Fonzi, followed by Councilman Sturdivant.
Rochelle, I understand the federal, the Senate was going to vote on mosquito abatement because Zika virus is actually fairly common in certain parts of our country. And I wonder if we could somehow be kept apprised of any grants that come our way, maybe county or state, that we could participate in. I think Zika is a concern for us here as well.
Yeah, we will be happy to look into that, and I'm sure Nick and his crew are probably on monitoring that. We can get some regular information to the council.
Very good. And I was wondering if someone could contact Southern California Gas and remind them that we have hot El Camino nights coming, and we don't want to have steel plates in our streets to rev our engines and scratch out on.
They know about those steel plates, and they know about our hot El Camino nights. So
okay.
I was at a meeting where they go, we know. Now, what's the date of hot El Camino nights? Do you have anything to add on that one?
I do, actually. We met with Southern Cal Gas representatives last week, and they're going to have everything connected on the pipeline and patched back, and then we'll have to wait about 3 weeks before we can do the microsurfacing. So fortunately, the microsurfacing that's going to be done from around Eight Town Diner down to El Bordo won't be done until after the hot El Camino nights. But the trenches all be finalized and everything else. It'll be nice and smooth.
Well, I'm glad I've got you there, Nick, because I had a question about microsurfacing. It sounds very minimal, and the damage that has been done to El Camino has been pretty maximal, in my opinion. Are you satisfied with the microsurfacing concept?
I am. We did that project in 2013, and the city has a no trench policy. However, this project was more of a public safety related project. And one of the conditions we put on Southern Cal Gas when we gave them approval through the encroachment permit is that they would have to, you know, repair those sections of road, at least whatever side they, half the road, that's a 40-foot wide road, whatever half they disturbed, they needed to do microsurfacing on. And they happened to disturb both sides, and they've assured us that they will leave in a good condition.
Very good. Thank you.
There you go. Sure, I can hear you. Mike, back on. We had Councilman Sturdivant next, followed by Councilman Kelly.
Considering how bad mosquitoes are this year, along with the pamphlet, is it possible to put some of that information on our website as well?
Absolutely, we can do that.
Thank you.
Yes, for Nick. Nick, what is micro-surfacing? What actually is that? I know there's all sorts of different applications, and I've never really heard of that one.
It's sort of like a slurry seal, like a slurry seal on steroids, so to speak. It's a thin overlay. It's not really an overlay, but a self-leveling course that has some properties of aggregate and everything else. But you can actually tell when you drive on El Camino Real southbound right before, right after you get off, you know, from the off on and off ramps from 41 going southbound, you can actually feel a little, I guess, dip, you know, where it's a little ledge. That's where it starts. So it's probably about a quarter inch thick. It's a lot heavier duty than a slurry seal, which is just basically sealing the pavement. This is actually gives it a little bit of protection and from the environment and the weathering.
Okay, any other council questions? Thank you. Is that any more on the city manager report?
That concludes my report. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for that update. Next, we have community forum, which is an opportunity for any of you to speak to all of us on any topic that's not on the agenda tonight and that's under our jurisdiction. So please come forward. Just state your name for the record. Seeing no lines form, come step right up. The mic is over this way. Sir, it's this way. Welcome. And this is for anything that's not on the agenda.
Well, I'm going to be speaking about Atascadero Lake.
That would be fine.
Okay. I had the pleasure of meeting Councilwoman Fonzie and Mayor Pro Tem Marino at the Friends of the Lake event that was held a couple weekends ago. And I had some interesting conversation with some of the people associated with the group. And I was happy to hear that there was a well that's been drilled and plans have been approved, and there is the only stumbling block now is getting the pipeline over to the lake, if I'm correct. So my plea here is maybe follow the example of, I believe San Luis Obispo has a community redevelopment fund that they use for things like repairing the bridges over Mission Creek. So my thought is maybe some tax revenue could be given by the city to help expedite the process of the pipeline, so that I know Atascadero Lake is really a center for social activities, community activities, and it's big, along with this beautiful building here, is one of the hallmarks of the city. So please, if you can spare any money from your fund to help move that project along, there's one citizen that would be very happy. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers on any other topic? Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment and bring that back to the council. Now, I can assure you that the Lake Park Zoo Veterans Memorial, all of that is the city's top priority. We've declared that we want that to be our event center, and so the city has really funded a lot of projects in that area. As far as that particular project, the city and engineers work very closely with Friends of the Lake and has pretty much done what we can do. But would you add any other comments to that, our city manager?
Yes, the Friends of the Lake have the funds and the ability to do the lake pipeline, so they have all of the construction plans and a contractor on board. I believe the contractor is just waiting for a time in his schedule when he can get that done. So at this point, it is a green light. We're just waiting for it to go. The funding is in place and can do it. Now, the Friends of the Lake raised the funds for that particular pipeline. The city is putting funds towards put some funds towards repairing the big lake fill line, which is the main water source for that runs Atascadero Creek, and we'll be doing some more repairs on that throughout the next year or two. So lots of community donations and city funding going towards trying to get some water in that lake.
Right. We have a couple of wells feeding in there, maybe 2-inch lines, but that's like an 8-inch pipe the city has coming from Atascadero Creek, I believe, and that is the major source outside of rain. So we will keep on that. Thank you. Next item is our first public hearing, B1, placement of sewer service charges on the 2016-2017 property tax rolls. Fairly routine, and that this comes around now and then. I don't believe there's any substantial increase. I'm going to begin with ex parte communications, which is where all council members disclose to you if we've had any discussion on this topic outside of this public process that might influence our decision, because we have an obligation to let you know how we reach a decision, and if we receive input outside of this public process, we need to disclose that to you. So I'll begin with going from my left to my right. If there's any ex parte conversation, now's the time to mention it.
None.
None for me?
None.
And so with that, I'll ask staff to go ahead and make their report.
Thank you, Mayor O'Malley. Let's see if I can get this working.
It's pristine ponds.
Mosquitoes.
Here we go. Looks like this formatting might be a little troublesome, but it's only a few slides, so I'll try to get through it quickly. A little background, the sanitary sewer charges that we're discussing tonight are actually for properties that are connected to the municipal sanitary sewer system. The system we actually inherited from the county, and it's actually, we've got about 5,500 connections to it. It's kind of funny, just to back up a second, I think the county kind of built this wastewater treatment plant back in the day on, you know, kind of a frugal budget, and it's kind of ironic now that this is kind of state of the art. You know, Paso Robles is spending tens of millions of dollars to upgrade their wastewater treatment plant to reclaim the water, percolate it back into the ground, and make it a sustainable source like we're doing right now with the Tascadero Mutual Water Company. So just kind of a little side note there. One of the things with the sanitary sewer charges is that we do not have access to water consumption by the property. So that's considered private information that Tascadero Mutual Water Company keeps. A lot of cities, like the one I came from, we had a water system, we had a sanitary sewer system. We based our sanitary sewer charges on the consumption of water because it's often a direct relationship with how much goes into the sewer is how much you're taking out of the tap. The one exception would be irrigation that just soaks back into the ground or gets evaporated. So a lot of times cities will use consumption during the winter months when irrigation is not happening as kind of a base rate and then apply that throughout the year. We unfortunately don't have that information, so what we end up doing is using these charges and applying, you know, an equal charge as to what's an EDU, and I'll get that in a second here. We do have 66 miles of sewer pipe, 12 lift stations. And on annually, we treat about 1.4 million gallons. So the purpose of the meeting tonight is to really receive objections from those that are going to have this charge placed on, collected with their property taxes. This is a mechanism, as I mentioned, if we had billed for water consumption, we'd bill this right with it. The city doesn't bill. We allow the county to collect those on the property tax and then send us a check. It's not really to, object to the amount of the charge, just that placing on there. There's no proposed increase in the sewer rate again this year. The total charges from the levies will equate to just under $1.9 million. And then the county to submit, the deadline to submit to the county is July 18th. So a monthly rate of $20.18 is the base rate per equivalent dwelling unit. This would be 240 gallons per day, theoretically. This is based on a commonly used standards for wastewater collection. This would equate to one single-family home on average. So if you think about throughout the country, the average single-family home discharges about 240 gallons per day into the sanitary sewer system. So an example would be an annual rate of $244.16, which also includes that $2 county fee to place this sewer charge for each property. They charge us that. I don't know what's going on with this PowerPoint. I think it's something I probably did earlier, but this is something I thought I'd throw on this year. It actually shows the other adjacent cities and CSDs and the county their current sewer rates, and we are at the bottom almost. We're the red line there, so we're paying about $20 a month for those that are connected to the sanitary sewer. If you look to the top, that's the city of San Luis Obispo. They pay almost three times as much as what our residents pay. Santa Maria actually beat us out a little bit. So, you know, this is one of those slides that I always love showing people, and really kind of shows, you know, how affordable our charges really are. So the recommendation tonight is to open the public hearing to allow any property owners to ask questions or object to the placement of these charges on their taxes, and then to adopt the resolution placing the service charges on the property tax rolls. The entire list of levies was not included in the packet because it's, you know, there's almost 5,500 different, you know, properties that are on there. It is on file with the city clerk if anybody wanted to see it. And with that, I'll take any questions you might have.
Thank you. Well, I'm one of the few mayors that likes to brag about their wastewater treatment plant. And again, it is the lowest cost in the county. And of the 5,500 connections we have, I believe we have about that many septic systems in our city, about 5,300 or so. If you're on a septic system and not hooked up to the sewer system, you do not receive a bill. So this is really a user-based bill, and it's really tied more to actual costs of operation, which, since so much is gravity fed and percolation ponds, it really is truly one of the lowest. That's why it is such a low cost. And another thing that I think we've appreciated more through the last few years, as the Atascio Mutual Water Company points out, they attribute 25% of our domestic water supply is really recycled from our wastewater treatment plant. It naturally percolates into the ground. It's a natural way of filtering water, and by the time it pops up in our wells, where they monitor for over 100 years, zero nitrate levels and all of the other things that you monitor for water, it's good, clean drinking water. So it's really been a win-win. So I do, and I know if you've, it's actually a fun tour to take. You go visiting our wastewater treatment plant. And I tell you, our staff are very proud. They do a great job out there. Mr. Black, I think, is our senior engineer out there. Those guys, like many of our city staff, take pride in what they do, and they do a phenomenal job. So I want to thank our staff for having obviously the most cost-effective system in the county. Any council questions? Councilwoman Moreno.
This is for the city manager. Last year, I think we had talked about doing an audit, like a rolling audit, 20% every year to make sure we had the correct amount on the bills. Have we done that for this year already?
We actually did. A couple years ago, we changed databases with this format, and there was a few mix-ups that occurred or discrepancies. So every year we do a number of audits throughout it. This year we're really focusing on the El Camino corridor, because that's, it seemed like the most, I guess, you know, crazy, I guess, you know, types of EDU calculations. But we actually did send out 35 correction notices this year. So,
okay. Thank you, Director.
Other council questions? Seeing none, I'll open up to the public. Anybody wanting to talk about sewer systems tonight? Seeing no one approach, just be glad it all works without a lot of intervention. It's always nice. We'll close public comment, bring it back to the council, entertain a motion. Councilman Fonzi made a motion, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Moreno. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzi?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. That takes us right into our management report, where we were going to have a Walmart map on item C1. That's been removed. So it takes us to C2, San Luis Obispo County Self-Help Local Transportation Investment Plan. And I'll turn it over to our staff. I guess we're going to have our city engineer go ahead and introduce who is going to be speaking on this item.
Thank you, Mayor O'Malley. So tonight I'd like to introduce Ron DeCarli, the Executive Director for SLOCOG, and this is his PowerPoint presentation, so I'll let him explain it to you.
Great, thank you very much. I appreciate having the opportunity to come, Honorable Mayor and Council members, kind of give you an update on where we are. But for maybe some context, what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about background, why we're going through the self-help, what are the implications to you, what are the actions taken by some of the other jurisdictions. So the first, who we are, San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, Regional Transportation Planning and Programming Agency. We're not part of the county, separate agency. Our focus, 98% of what we do is transportation. Involved with transportation is transportation planning, where we coordinate transportation plans, improvement options among all the seven cities, the county, and Caltrans. But most importantly, and why we're really here, is we program money. State and federal money, most of that is historically has been highway-related projects, the 41-101 interchange here in Atascadero. But most interchanges in every single jurisdiction, the 41 realignment here in Atascadero too. But we've also funded various community enhancements to streetscape here on El Camino Real, up by the Carlton Hotel, bike lanes on all along El Camino Real and Traffic Way, walkway around Atascadero Lake. Some of the other type of projects, we're currently working with the city on kind of a revisioning of the ultimate improvements in Highway 41 corridor from the freeway on. Historically, we've also funded work with local jurisdictions on maintaining streets and roads. But what we have found over the years is our funding has started to collapse, and it's turned into kind of a free fall. Some have said it's turned into a fiscal cliff. And I'm going to walk through that a little bit here. And part of the concerns with that funding is that affects you in terms of your gas tax subventions that come to the state. It affects the funding that we've had that goes back to the member jurisdictions. But let's just look at a highway improvement project as an example. And I'll use Los Osos Valley Road. $30 million project, 50% paid for by local jurisdiction, by the city and developer fees, $15 million funded by our agency. That's the same effect in almost most of the big highway projects throughout. That money is now largely evaporated, which then puts the pressure on local jurisdictions to raise that funds, to further raise development fees, of which everyone is saying are too high now. So that's the problem that we have from a kind of a large perspective. Caltrans no longer has any money for improvements. Their funding is really going is now limited to rehabilitation that you see on Highway 101, for instance. The other consequence of that is the money that we used to use for various enhancements, your public transit, your bus center, is now being shifted over to, in our case, Highway 101, South County, Pismo Beach. In all likelihood, if funding doesn't change, our money will start focusing entirely, where in the past, it was a balanced program looking at all jurisdictions. Now it shifts over. So part of the, why is this happening? More fuel-efficient cars. We have electric cars that don't pay any gas tax at all. We have cars that have gone from 15 miles per gallon up to 30 and 40 miles per gallon. And that's kind of reflected here in terms of a consumption decrease. In addition to that, part of the gas tax revenue we received is based upon the value of a dollar. A year ago, gas was almost $5 a gallon. Now it's half that. Our revenue for that portion has dropped from 21 cents to less than 10 cents. So at a time when there's a need for highway improvements, our legislature is reducing some of the funding we have. One of the other basic implications that your staff's already talked about, this chart's always kind of helpful, and this is projects that we used to fund a decade and a half ago. We used to provide extra funding for the cities and the county on maintenance. As that's dried up, that's been borne by the local jurisdictions. The shocking amount is that with this graph and what it shows, if you're just, and this is just discussed at your last meeting, your last item, that if you're doing slurry seals, and just trying to keep track of those, $4 a yard, this big, to fix that road, and it stays in very good shape. But if you let it go, as many roads have in this area, in our whole county, now for that same yard, it's almost $90. We've shifted to rehabilitation. That's the issue this city has. Morro Bay, Grover Beach, County of San Luis Obispo are all facing the same things. Of how do we stay in that very good to good level? Because as soon as you start dropping past 62, the cost starts going up dramatically, as this chart shows. And in the case of a task area, you're at 47. The County of San Luis Obispo, for instance, has recognized that. So they put in the last 3 years, an extra $3 to $3.5 million from their general fund into the road budget. They put in $3.4 million this year to help start addressing these problems. Their PSI, this going pavement management index, is going from 62, which is just on the edge of deterioration, and it's gone from 64 to 62, even after $3 million of extra funds every 3 years. So with this funding deterioration, and we've had these further cuts from Sacramento, since this was first raised by our agency back in August or so, we anticipated, and I think I brought up to this council when Del Rio and Walmart was talked about, of the ability to partner with the city on Del Rio, Tastera, Walmart interchange projects. And we said, yeah, we could fund that. We fund 50% of these projects consistent with our plans, consistent with economic development, consistent with your clean air plan. Those are the kinds of projects that we have funded. That's what's kind of shifted. So since that time, the state funding, as of a month ago, dropped from zero to $1.5 billion extra funding lost. $750 million of cut projects, $750 million of delayed projects, despite probably the most aggressive legislative lobbying by the League of Californias, the County Supervisors Association, and all various parties going to working with all our legislators and the governor, and with a high priority of the governor on transportation, and we've lost $1.5 billion. Our county lost $114 million of program projects. Is there legislative solutions? Yes, there's a flurry of activity. The governor's identified it as a top priority. There's various legislative bills in both houses. Sorry to say, from the input I've had, and I just came back from Sacramento, the word I have is still in gridlock. The likelihood of an action is probably minimal. And if so, there'll be some funding for Caltrans maintenance and some money, because by law it's 50-50 with cities and county coming back to the local jurisdictions, but nothing really to address some of the bigger highway-related projects. So what our board has asked us to do is start investigating the other route. The state legislature can't seem to get to the point of raising money on their own, but they're very good at taking it away from local jurisdictions. They're also very good at saying, if you got a problem, we'll give you the authority to raise your own money. That's what they've done for transportation. 20 counties now in California are considering, have these measures. It raises $4.5 billion a year, requires an investment plan. It's approved by the cities, the county board of supervisors, and then the electorate on 67% vote. 33 million people in California have now passed these measures, or living in counties with those measures. L.A. County's going for the fourth measure. San Diego's going for the third measure. So some of the big counties are going for multiple measures. So we're now evaluating this to be able to assist all the jurisdictions for these kind of projects. So we had a pretty serious outreach. 75, we're probably at close to 90 presentations now, probably over 700 people on just this outreach. We did public opinion polls, we did focus groups, and the net result of that, everybody blasted the state, taking away our money, for not taking responsibility, for having high costs and high regulations. I think everyone's also began to recognize the state's not going to bail us out. And most of our elected officials are now saying that if we don't address some of our own needs, it'll be us that's suffering from street and road maintenance costs going up, from traffic congestion, from the inability to be able to have economic development because we can't fund the interchanges and address the congestion to meet Caltrans problems, as well as some of the quality of life issues in our county. So what came out of that is what I presented to you, or my staff presented to you at your last meeting a month and a half ago. And that was a 9-year plan, half-cent sales tax, raises $25 million a year. It had 50% of the money just went straight to local jurisdictions. That was conceptually approved in April, May by all seven cities and the County Board of Supervisors. At the June meeting, we kind of went back, and prior to that meeting, even though everyone approved it, some people had concerns. So we recommended, and the SLOCOG board approved, a number of modifications. And I'll kind of walk through those too. So this represents the new investment plan. The local control has gone up from 50% to 55% and went straight to local jurisdictions. Your council raised issues that under the local control, you said this was up to us. We had a target of community enhancements, 10% of the money. Well, we thought about some of the concerns you raised, and that was approved by all seven cities, that concept. But we still went back and said, you know, the city's right. We said this is local control. We're giving you local control. We made that recommendation. There was also concerns raised that there's simply too much money going to bicycles. We thought a lot about that. We talked to our consultant. Why do you have so much on bikes? And the net result of that, through all that outreach, every single city had bike projects, safer out to school projects, pedestrian projects in every city, and almost every town throughout the county, strongest in San Luis Obispo by far, and strongest on the coastal area, but still strong everywhere. But at the same time, we were hearing from others, a lot here in North County and the rural areas, simply too much money going there. So we recommended it be cut by 1/3. We contacted the bike advocates and said, we're going to make a cut. We want to make sure this happens. We're going to cut. But we're also going to be equitable. That was another issue we heard, that this isn't equitable. Everything's going to South County. Everything's going to San Luis Obispo. So we wanted to assure you that it's equitable. So bike and ped, for instance, is $5.6 million per region. And we kind of broke it up, North County, South County. And for all of you, our agency, I feel very strongly about, we're equitable. We try and do our best to try and meet the needs of all jurisdictions and everyone. I pride ourselves in doing that, and I think we're trying to do that here. So we did make that significant cut. We still recommended a base of $5.6 million, and the reason for that base, frankly, was North County, and in particular, some of the projects in North County. The biggest project in all of North County, bike came up, is the Tascadero-Templeton connector. Get the kids, get the people off Highway 101 between Templeton and Tascadero. There's no route. You can ride 5 miles around, or you ride the freeway, or you walk along the railroad tracks. So that's a $4 million project, so we wanted to maintain that. City of Tascadero was looking at the Highway 41 project. bike and ped. We want to try and maintain something. So we set the base, Templeton, Main Street rehabilitation, Theater Drive, bikeways, for instance. We have a firm connection. And then we also said in North County that in the outlying areas, the county can use this money. Instead of putting bike lanes everywhere, which is never our intention, widened shoulders were appropriate on these rural roads, and that was all approved. So this is kind of the concept. Local control, 55%. Regional projects are the highway-related projects. So what's changed? As I mentioned, bike and ped cut by one-third. Local control increased by from 50% to 55%. We removed the community enhancements. The Independent Taxpayer Oversight Committee, there was a lot of discussions on that it was stacked. It wasn't well represented. So we took SOCOG staff off of it. We added the Taxpayers Association. At the next meeting, they said they'd really prefer not to be on, so we took them off. We added the builders. We added transit. So we tried to make it, we tried to strengthen it, because I think that's the issue. If we're doing a 67% and the voters are approving some plan, we want to make certain that the plan is clear, it's cut, we've made a pact with the voters, and we're going to make certain that we're following that pact, and we're going to follow those percentages. We'll use an oversight committee. There was also questions of the need for amendments of some kind. No one knows what's going to happen in 9 years. What happens if some jurisdictions lose their half-cent sales tax, for instance? So we put in a high threshold for plan amendments to allow plan amendments. We also strengthened the maintenance of effort, because this money is to expand transportation improvements, not to replace local money. So those are all provisions to strengthen the process. We reviewed that with the board. Our board approved all those changes. So for a city of Atascadero, what's it mean? It's about $1.5 million to you to do what you see fit. That's $13.5 million over 9 years. Your city has identified that the prime purpose, street maintenance and repair, congestion management at key intersections, bike and ped safety. We highly recommended keep it general, because once it's locked in, we can't change it. But these are all pretty general categories. It gives the city a lot of flexibility. Our efforts also are to try and take your money and match it with any additional money we have or any additional grants. So the bigger project, the highway projects, regional roadways, $20 million, but let's first look at this, the $55 million. This effort, as we would see, would probably double or triple the total funding. We're not seeing using only this funds. Every interchange we're funding, we have historically funded at 50%. We're going to expect that to occur. We still expect to leverage funds. So in North County, we recommended $17.5 million to be determined. We have yet to know exactly where all those projects are. In South County, we've done a lot of that work. We know we've got problems on 227. We know we've got problems on 101. We have design solutions for those. We don't quite yet at the same spot, but I think lucky for Atascadero, there's no jurisdiction that's absolutely ready to go yet. Year two, 2 years from now, we'll start seeing several projects all coming up, so we wanted to kind of give you that opportunity. Bike and pedestrians, $5.6 million. Atascadero-Templeton Connector, the main one. Main Street improvements, Theater Drive improvements, and Highway 41. Those are the big bike projects that we have. Public transit. At your last meeting, we had about 7% of the money for fixed route services. One of the comments we heard from several people, but this council raised, and Councilmember Fonzie had raised the issue that, are we spending too much on regional bus services versus seniors? So senior transportation was rated as the most highly recommended thing in all the polling. It was hitting 77% of the people says we really need to work on mobility improvements for seniors and veterans and people with disability. So we increased that as a result of comments we had. It was 7% and 2% and 1%, and we reduced it, increased more money for seniors. So we talked a little bit about some of the safeguards. The sunset date, 9 years. protected from state raids. The state cannot take this money based upon a proposition passed a couple of years ago, Prop 22. Any locally generated funds, sales tax in particular, raised by you, like your cities, or through regional agencies, cannot be taken from the state. 55% of the funds are controlled by you. We have a requirement the developer still has to pay their fair share. I'm not getting out of that. Higher maintenance effort and independent taxpayers organization. So what do the voters see? The voters see, included in your attachment, is the transportation investment package that we have in kind of the teal color. It's more of a user-friendly document than one of the first times that you've seen. Included in that are several attachments. One is the ordinance itself that lays out all the requirements. Another is an attachment that describes the oversight committee and its purposes and roles. And then the last one is our implementing guidelines. So these are kind of the larger issues of how do we implement this provision. And kind of a key point I'd want to bring up, too, is when we look at that investment pie, one of the first things we do, if this passes, our first task that we would have is develop a capital improvement program, similar to what the city does. We'd call it a strategic improvement plan. Because those big highway projects, none of them are ready to go yet. That's 25% of the money. We're not going to let that money just sit there in a bank account. We want to keep it rolling. So if you have bigger projects, or you or cities want to get a jump up on rehabbing some of your streets, we can reflect that because the highway money isn't ready yet. So we could advance fund a number of these projects. That's what we'll do with the strategic improvement plan. So what does it mean for our county? $25 million a year. 50% paid by visitors and non-residents. We're a tourist county. Those numbers were shocking to me. We had two independent evaluations that basically said 53% and 57%. We rounded it up and be conservative. San Luis Obispo City at 67%, I'm not too surprised about. This would deliver that investment plan that you have before you. It's restricted to projects in that plan or at the prerogative of each of the jurisdictions. And it does provide additional competitiveness. That highway money that we have, that 25%, again, at minimum is going to double or triple. We would still consider trying to use our money to leverage the bikeway projects we've identified. Every one of those bikeway projects in that list, we've been working with the staff of each city, including your city on 41, in on the Tassarel Templeton, to use our last remaining money we had from last December, $1 million, to use as a very heavy match to try and match those projects and make our money go further. It's what we've always done. We'll continue to do so. So it improves competitiveness where we can. So the schedules at the June meeting, we approved the plan, and it's now since been approved by five of our member jurisdictions, as you see. It's being reviewed by the city of Arroyo Grande at this very moment in Arroyo Grande, and now with yourselves. It goes to the County Board of Supervisors on July 12th. At that time, the county would then, and then it comes back to our board on July 13th. We would then call for an election at that time, and then it's up to the county board whether they would have final say in putting it on a ballot or not. So what you're being asked for now is basically, do you approve that investment plan that we've defined? Then it goes to the SLOCOG board, who then determines, do we have an election? Does this go forward to the Board of Supervisors? Board of Supervisor has that final call. So our recommendation to drop the draft resolution that you have before you. We work with your staff on the resolution and would appreciate your support.
If I may, I think that solves it. Piggyback on a few things here. Last meeting when the city council talked about the priorities for the monies, we were asked to, as staff and SLOCOG, to have an open house to solicit some input from residents on what kind of projects they'd like to see. We did have that open house on May 21st, on a Saturday for a few hours, and I was lightly attended. I mean, it was a nice day. I'm not sure if I would have gone to one of those either. But
you were.
but I was there. We didn't really get any specific projects. I mean, the feedback we got from the folks that showed up said, yeah, I think you're on the right path here with how you want to spend the money. Really what I hear from a lot of folks is, you know, it's the streets. You know, they want their streets fixed. And there were some other questions about, you know, just curiosity about, you know, this whole self-help thing. A couple other things is we don't have specific projects, as Ron mentioned. We're keeping it sort of vague, and that was recommended. If this measure passes, we'll have to develop a five-year CIP with specific projects and costs that we'll have to get approved. And this money would also be used to leverage funds for grants and other opportunities as well for some of those bigger projects. I mean, I think of some of the interchange projects that, like Santa Rosa is one that comes to mind initially. And then, you know, the recommendation is to really approve this investment plan. It's not, you know, asking to, you know, support the tax measure or anything else. It's the first step is, you know, this investment plan is needed to be approved for the tax measure. It's not, you know, what the council is being asked tonight is not to support the tax measure, but if this tax measure were to pass, you know, after a 67% voter approval, you know, would the council agree with this is the rule book, this is the investment plan, this is how the money is going to be allocated and what areas it's going to be spent on, the safeguards and other things. So it's really, you know, if this were to pass, you know, does the city council support this use of the money? So with that, I don't know.
And the condition there is it takes a majority of cities with a majority of population and the county board of supervisors to put it on the ballot. So it's majority of cities with majority of population that takes it to our board. And so that's the threshold. It's a high threshold. Our effort is 100%. That's my goal.
Thank you. Does that conclude your reports? And we may have some council questions. A couple things I would clarify. I've probably heard the most of this discussion, having been through a number of slow cog meetings. One thing you did mention that's a little newer component is you kind of alluded to this funding, if it were approved. Most cities do not have a shovel-ready plan, so to speak, as we used to call it. Atascadero is in a position that we actually have a number of projects where we've kind of got a head start on the planning. We've had our 41 corridor story. We have a number of intersections that we've really thought through and planned. So if this funding were approved by 67% of the voters, then we'd be in a position to maybe front load some of those projects because the funding is going to go basically countywide, and SLOCOG is going to look around, okay, who's got a project ready to go, rather than taking, you know, a percentage first year for each city. Most cities don't have anything ready to go, so if Atascadero was there with a project already designed, planned, we might actually be the one that got a project funded first year or second year.
I'd say that's accurate. I'm going to anticipate, knowing my member jurisdictions, almost all of them will want their 55% right off the bat. I mean, just as soon as that hits, I'll be getting calls from the city managers and the finance managers saying, give me my money. But those other projects, the transit money will probably be the same way because it'll go by formula, but probably not the first year. It usually takes a while to gear up. The bike and ped projects and the regional projects just simply aren't ready. Some jurisdictions are further along than others, and that's why we're developing that strategic plan and to try and move those projects. So I'd say you're absolutely correct. That gives us an opportunity to move those earlier, and that would be the effort I would have with a strategic plan.
Well, and let me just clarify, too, because I'm always thinking, is it just wishful thinking on my part? But it sounds like we are distributing the money not based on who generates the income. We're generating it based on population. So the reason we have $13.4 million and Pismo Beach has $4.5 million, I'm betting Pismo Beach generates more sales tax revenue than Atascadero. I hate to admit it, but I'm thinking they do. Is that correct, that we're not really distributing funding based on who generated it? It really is more need-based, and it's based on population.
You are absolutely correct. The two biggest generators in our county is San Luis Obispo City, City of Paso Robles, to a lesser degree, the county, and then Pismo Beach. City of Paso, for instance, generates $4.5 million a year. You're at 1.6, I think, a year. This measure gives you 1.5 a year. So just those numbers would be absolutely right. When we established this, we had nice lively discussions at the city managers on this issue. And the issue that we at SLOCOG advocated, which was strongly supported by your city manager,
for what?
Some of the smaller cities, is everyone needs support from those outlying jurisdictions. We wanted to make absolutely certain that it's fair, it's equitable. It's not just a return source. It's providing funding in those jurisdictions that need it. And that's Atascadero. That's the county. That's Morro Bay. That's Grover Beach. That's Arroyo Grande to a lesser degree. They're kind of in the middle. But that's what we have here. Is we've got a regional program that we've tried to make equitable. But that local share, yeah, the city of Atascadero comes out really good, really, really good, because we took it and finally broke it down. We did a base amount for all jurisdictions. It really helps kind of the small cities like Grover Beach and Morro Bay, $150,000 base per year. Then the rest was strictly by a population basis. So Atascadero's got a large population. We see it as you're a bedroom community. You're striving to have to enhance your economic development. For the more you do that from our standpoint, the less you're going to have commuters going up and down Highway 101, of which I do not have any money to fix it, and Caltrans does not either. So where we can help the city become more self-independent, like what the city did here at the theater, that's the best example in the whole county, because everyone used to, including myself, used to go to Paso Robles and Slo City to go to the movies and to catch dinner. I always stay here because I live here too.
Well, thank you. We've got a lot of council questions, and then we'll limit to questions for staff or Mr. DeCarli. Then we'll go to the public with any questions or comments. But we'll begin. The lights I have so far, Councilwoman Moreno first, followed by Councilman Fonzie, then Councilman Sturdivant.
Thinking the only way Atascadero could fare better is if we went by miles of road city maintained. But Mr. DeCarli, I'm curious, you were talking about amendments, and here on page, I guess it doesn't matter if page of our staff report, but number four amendments, it said, I've got two questions. This is, no provision is included to allow SLOCOG to amend the percentage distribution between the major funding categories, so regional, local, control, all of that.
Correct.
Is there any provision anywhere? I don't see it, but I want to confirm there's no provision to be able to change the distribution between the cities?
Yes. Same process that we had for adopting it. Majority of first SLOCOG board, then it goes routes between majority of cities and with the majority of population and the county board of supervisors, and back to the SLOCOG board. Same process. That's what you've said. It's a very high threshold to make the change.
Okay, because then it goes on to say require review and approval of cities. So the majority would be 50 plus 1 in terms of population.
Well, we've said it the same way. It's the majority of cities. So it could be 4 out of 7 cities. Mm-hmm. With a majority of population, then we do a calculation on what that population level is to. That's why I have my staff work on those numbers.
Okay.
So, I couldn't tell you what it is off the top of my head.
So in that, you could have 4 out of 7 cities say, oh, we don't like this distribution, we want to change it.
Oh, we could. It also has to go to the COG board. The likelihood of a change is about that much. We could see by going through the process we had to get here, once everyone has a given, the ability to lose something is pretty nominal. I would think.
Okay.
It would just be challenged by all the rest of the jurisdictions. So.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Councilman Fonzie, followed by Councilman Sturtevant.
Thank you for your presentation, Mr. DeCarli. I understand that California has the highest gas tax rate in the entire nation. Do you know if that is so?
I believe so. I believe that is the case.
This isn't fair to put you on the spot, but why is California so messed up then that they have to put it on the backs of the local residents on a sales tax?
I could not give you a very good answer. I know part of the high price of gas, we have 10 cents of gas, 10 cents of, which doesn't even show up in that tax rate. It's just going for clean fuels, California clean fuels, which is the cleanest fuels in the country. So that's 10 cents, and that's put on at the wholesaler. So that's at the refinery level by their resources board. Then the rest is gas tax relative to the population. I really couldn't tell you. I know you've got 37 million people here. You've got I don't know how many miles of highway. But when we start looking at the cost of the highways, the cost of the maintenance, those are the costs that occur. And California, frankly, has some of the toughest regulatory requirements in any state in the union. That's one thing that this legislation that's looking at, if anything passes, it will have a reform package. There's not a chance the legislation can pass without some significant reforms. And the latest I've heard is from the transportation advocacy groups, is if there's going to be a fee or gas tax increase, there will be reforms. The governor's even proposing reforms, but they're still quite a ways apart. So you are absolutely correct.
I read an editorial in the newspaper yesterday, and it was talking about the rebates that go for clean cars, for Teslas and Priuses, and it's actually 11 cents of the gas tax that we pay per gallon, and that's to fund cars that don't produce any revenue. They use the roads, but they don't buy gas. It seems like looking at Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass that there's something just a little crazy about the way things are done in California. I know that you can't answer that one, but I just thought that was an interesting way to use our gas tax money. I don't want to be facetious, but it seems like if we were funding gas guzzlers, we'd actually do much better in getting money for our roads.
There is indirectly. The numbers you have, I don't doubt. That's probably accurate. The one part that's not accurate, it doesn't come out of the gas tax revenues that we normally have. It comes out of the cap and trade money through the Air Resources Board. So that's polluting industries that are charging off and trying to get a certain threshold. I don't need to get into that.
Right, but we pay it.
But the equivalent is probably very accurate. Almost all of the various legislative proposals includes a car tax for electric cars, save one area, and that's from the governor. The governor wants to, his overall position is to maximize this conversion and to reduce greenhouse gases so there's no tax for electric cars. He continues those rebates.
I understand. You stated that certain counties, particularly down in the LA area and San Francisco urban areas, were paying their third and fourth tax increase. What did you mean by that?
In Los Angeles County, they've passed three of these measures at a half cent each. I think they're all half cent each. And they're now going for their fourth measure. San Diego has had one measure, and they're going for their second measure. Sacramento has one measure, they're going for their second measure. Santa Cruz has one measure, they're going for a second.
So this was to extend their time limit? They had 9 years, and now they're going to 18?
No.
Or this is going from half a cent to a cent to a half?
Yeah, it's 1.5 cents now, and 1.5% in Los Angeles County. I think it's going up to 2.
And that is so that they can access the state funds. I remember at the last meeting you said that the state was smiling on those counties that were self-help counties and giving them more money. Is that correct?
They're smiling on them, but there isn't a lot of money to give. There's no direct pot of funds. Some of the legislation proposes to do that. They're smiling because that's the only way they can raise the money to make these projects work. The other aspect, in a lot of the big urban counties, the other fund source is for goods movement. And that's federal funding for goods movement, and there's a push state funding for goods movement. We've been tracking that legislation, tracking those bills. We, being the Center Coast Coalition, Santa Barbara, our county, Santa Cruz, Monterey, Santa Cruz, talking as a group. And what we found is the focus is ports, border crossings, interstates, Interstate 80, Interstate 10, Interstate 250, if there's a 250, 210, I guess, but not 101 and not 46. So we're pushing hard to include 101 and 46. So the other pot of money that is occurring in some of those urban areas, we can't get access to. We're not congested enough area. We're not moving enough tonnage on Highway 101 and 46 compared to the interstate highways or the ports. The Port of Long Beach, Los Angeles, Oakland are getting the big bulk of money.
Well, it would seem that the half cents that is increased on the sales tax revenue isn't really paid by those who are using the ports, because we're paying those fees anyway when we buy our goods. It seems like an odd way to do it, but I know California does things in odd ways, so I probably shouldn't question you about it. When you talked about congestion relief, I know that's what you're talking about, is getting the goods to the right places. However, we have places like between Avila Beach and Pismo Beach that pile up daily, and I spent 20 minutes there every time I go to the South County. And this seems like this would be a responsibility of the state of California. And this is a freeway. It's an interstate, actually, and it should be funded in some other way rather than on the backs of those who live locally in that area. Could you explain why congestion relief is proposed for those areas based on this sales tax?
Because the state money simply isn't there. That's the reason why. The state, is it right? No. Should the state be handling this? Absolutely. Are they? No, they're not. The state money is in this administration, basically, for any funding, it's goods movement, it's greenhouse gas reduction, whether we like that or not, that's part of it. And it's fix it first. Fix it first is maintenance and operate, similar to what the city is trying to do, is get your system up and running, because there isn't enough funding. So the issue of improving of congestion relief, it's not on. It's simply not there. They're looking at maybe $1 billion a year. We lost $1.5 billion this year. I will assume with some of these funding, it might go up to $2 billion a year, of which we would be getting $6 million a year. Caltrans still doesn't have any money for anything. Caltrans, the little funding they have has been going for interregional projects like 46, connecting the urban areas. Their position is, in your urban areas, it's your problem, it's your responsibility. Deal with it. That's unfortunately the way transportation finance has moved in California.
I don't know if it's possible for you to put up the slide that showed the self-help counties and those that were proposing to become self-help counties.
There you go.
You stated that those self-help counties received a benefit because they were more competitive. If every county becomes a self-help county, will we be competitive, or will again be really out of the loop and the big guys?
Well, we won't be out of the loop. We'll be even. But if we're not, we're absolutely out of the loop. That's the difference. We're just left behind. And the biggest issue, leveraging funds, I think, is crucial. I think it's important where you can leverage funds. But if not, we still, all the jurisdictions still need to address their maintenance problems as the city has here. We all still have this congestion that's getting worse. And if the states not provide this, that's why they call it self-help primarily. There's always been some kind of an incentive. And more funding that used to come up to us by formula, bike and ped money, used to come straight to us. We would allocate that money out. Changes in state law and federal law has shifted all that to Caltrans. Now all of us are working hard with your staff to prepare grants. We had 14 grants that went out last year for bike and ped projects. We got one in the city of Atascadero. We have 8 projects going forward this year. We'll see how we do. We used the little federal money we had left to try and put a real heavy match to try and, but after this, I don't have any more match money left. So I can't. And all the cities are trying to maintain their existing roads. So that's the problem that we're in. Are we able to really leverage a lot of the highway money? Some of the leveraging is where you're taking your money and you're leveraging our money. That's what's been done in the more historic past, and that's what's totally gone now because we can't leverage it. We don't have any money to give you. We can't match those 50% matches for the economic development around these major interchanges or the congestion relief around major interchanges. And in most places, you're in an existing community. You have substandard interchanges. You don't have a lot of growth occurring around Santa Rosa, Curbarell, and Santa Barbara to fund multi-million dollar interchanges. The money isn't there, and the state's not there. So the only funding we have is where we've tried to work with the city in the past.
Last question, I promise. You mentioned that the gas taxes may again go up. Is that something that you've heard?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you hear anything about gas taxes increasing?
No, they're going down.
No, I mean the amount that the state legislature puts
on
the gallon.
No, they're actually going down. They went from 21 cents almost a year ago from the price-based tax to 10 cents a gallon. State controller modifies it once a year, every six months, based upon the value of the cost of a gallon of gas. So as gas prices have come down, they've been reducing it. It's not something they've really cut. It used to be a percentage. It used to be a sales tax on gas, so it would go up or down.
Okay.
But they converted that to a gallonage tax to be able to fund bond debt. So it's...
Well, that's good news, at least. I'm glad to hear that. Thank
yes.
you, sir.
Thank you. So I think answer to a lot of your questions, like I give to a lot of constituents that ask questions, sorry, you live in California. But I think also you mentioned, you know, a lot of the issues with California is kind of in the same boat as Atascadero. Look at our size. It's a large geographical area, lots of miles of roads, population spreading that dollars over that's actually reducing. That has been a challenge for us locally and the state. Anyway, we have some possible questions by Councilman Sturtevant.
I do have a question, but I just want to say something that Councilmember Fonzie did, something I've been feeling is that I almost feel like we're enabling the state. You know, all this tripping and flipping and flopping and everything else they're doing with money and the decisions they make. I feel the same way at times, that it's just the way we're morphing from a decade and a half ago where money was coming down, whereas now we're looking at self-help counties. We'll all be a self-help county, then what? There's going to be something else. So we're enabling this change, and there's a part of that that just really bothers me. But I do appreciate the information. I thank you for listening to us and going back and making the changes. Could you go back to that pie chart slide? I just had a question about the geographic breakdown on the left side, because on the regional projects and bike and pedestrian safety, there's a geographical breakdown for 4 different areas within the county. On the public transportation, there isn't. And I'm curious, how does that public transportation piece work, and how is it allocated throughout the county?
We've established a certain formula for the public transit systems. It was total riders, total revenues, one other factor. That was coordinated with all the transit systems. So the vast majority of the funding goes for regional transit authority. The regional services go up and down the corridor. They get about 60% of the money, and I would say 55% of the money. And probably close to 40% of the money goes to slow city transit that pulls in 2 million riders a year. And then the balance goes by that same formula to the rest of the system, South County Transit, Atascadero Transit, Morro Bay Transit, and Paso. So it goes by a formula based primarily on usage. From our focus, it's a regional project. we wanted to make certain we're addressing some of these regional needs, so we were trying to prioritize more on a regional transit service. On the other side of it, the senior and disabled, it was a percentage. We identified 3%. 3% of the money would go to seniors. Some of that is the runabout system. Mm-hmm. And again, there's a formula that says a certain amount of money is the handicap system for all the public transit systems. So you might see the runabout van that provides wheelchair accessibility countywide. So a large amount of money is going to that, which then also helps the cities, because as our county's getting older, which it is, more and more people, there's a higher and higher demand for the senior transportation. So we're trying to put a lot of money into that senior transportation. We also have some innovations. Rather than just putting it into a paid pilot dial-a-ride driver, but putting it into more innovative things like shuttle services, like senior vans, where senior clubs, we provide them a van and an operating subsidy. They use their own drivers. And that's probably the most cost-effective of all. And that's kind of what we're trying to advocate. You know, what's some ways of letting the seniors kind of help themselves, too? Mm-hmm. But it's a growing need. It's one. What this does is it provides three times the money that we currently have.
Okay, well, that's actually what I was hoping. That's what I was hoping for, was something new, something where we could reach more people, help more people, be able to do more for the seniors, veterans, and persons with disabilities.
And that's the effort here, is okay. Trying to look at some innovations. And we're also looking at the potential of Uber providing services too, somehow. So that's in as an investigatory option, because 2 years ago we had two Uber drivers. Last I heard, we were over 500 drivers in our county. It's a huge amount.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Ron, you mentioned that the sales tax has gone down on the cost of fuel. What is in the works in Sacramento? They're not going to just let that happen. I've read some articles, not in depth, about putting a mileage tax on or some other type of tax on these electric vehicles. I think we can assume that is going to happen. Are you have any updated information on what's in the works for that?
Yeah, there's called a road user. Oh boy, road based user fee. It's a vehicle miles tax, right. And I forgot what the terminology they're using, more user friendly method. The state legislature has required California to investigate other options. The biggest issue is a vehicle miles tax patterned after the state of Oregon. There is now test cases where you can get a hold of Caltrans and you can volunteer to track vehicle miles traveled by different kind of mechanisms, from reading an odometer to putting a GPS system on your car that determines, are you driving on a county road? Are you on a ranch road where it doesn't apply? Are you going out of state on vacation and it doesn't apply? So there's like five different mechanisms. All of those mechanisms is going to come back with some kind of a recommendation. I will anticipate that package will come up with some real strong vehicle miles traveled. So instead of paying a gas tax, if you're driving 100 miles, you're going to be paying a cent a mile or something to that effect. Kind of the key thing from our standpoint, I'm a pragmatist. Fee requires a two-thirds vote of the legislature. I have gridlock in Sacramento. Vehicle miles traveled fees raises all kinds of privacy-related issues. I think the chance of that going through, I'll be very surprised if it has any big significant impact. But we'll find out, because the end of 2017 will be a report to the legislature. Then the legislation in 2018, the state legislature, could then review those recommendations and see if they could pull together a two-thirds vote and a governor approval to pass a VMT tax.
And just maybe one other question with some comments. You mentioned several times that you don't have any more money. And over the last 4 years as a taxpayer, 4 years ago, the California Division of Forestry put a $150 tax on properties in the unincorporated area. The current school bond here in Atascadero has increased my property taxes 14%. We added the half-cent sales tax for our roads. we have the 2% increase on the assessed value for Proposition 13. And like you say, I think there will be some other fee or taxes that is going to be put in place in the future to compensate for the sales tax loss on fuel. Fortunately, I just read that the Diablo situation will be extended to 2025, but you know there's going to be something put in place to bring those funds back. The federal government was wise enough to determine that since the gas prices went down, I did not get an increase in my Social Security. So what happens to me when I get to the point where I don't have any money after paying all of these taxes?
Tough question. And
very
I think that's a very tough question that a lot of, that's the issues with people on fixed income. And I don't really have a good answer for that. What I know is that the taxes that are levied here aren't paid on medical, aren't paid on food. We're trying to provide funding for public transit for seniors and trying to provide money to maintain our streets. We're hearing from the AAA that it takes up to $700 damages to cars every year average because of poor roads. Those are the kind of things we're doing. We can't address the big societal issues. No, I'd like to.
I think the mechanics of your plan are great. Is just the funding mechanism for maybe a lot of the silent majority out there that are maybe fixed on fixed income. It was just they're starting to get us. They're circling us. Thank you, though.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Any other council questions before we go to the public? Because we won't be in a hurry to get through this. We'll make sure everyone can speak. So with that, we'll go ahead and open it up to the public. Thank you, Mr. DeCarli. Anyone wishing to speak on this item, please come forward. State your name for the record, and we welcome your input.
Mayor O'Malley, members of the council, my name is Danny Devereaux. I'm the general manager for Cal Portland Company. We have several operational sites in San Luis Obispo County. I'm also a resident of San Luis County, as are all my children and grandchildren. So a thriving economy and quality of life are obviously very important to myself, to all of our employees, and to our families. These items are dependent on a good transportation infrastructure. And unfortunately, you've heard already that the transportation infrastructure funding mechanisms currently at the federal and state levels are broken. Now, both systems are heavily funded by gas taxes. The feds have had a flat 18.4 cents per gallon tax since 1993, with absolutely no increases for inflation. And inflation during that period has increased 65%. Looking at the state gas excise tax, just in the last 3 years, it's dropped 11 point cents per gallon, or 30% in the 3 years. At the same time, more fuel-efficient cars, electric cars, obviously less gallons consumed per mile. The combination has just significantly reduced the funding mechanisms to design for transportation infrastructure. Meanwhile, our infrastructure continues to deteriorate, and the pavement condition index of our roads are decreasing. Even with, like in San Luis Obispo City, that we heard even increase in their funding. Action is needed before roads deteriorate to a level that will require total rebuild instead of less expensive pavement maintenance like Councilman Kelly, the micro-surfacing that you heard about earlier. Local control is needed outside of Washington, D.C. or Sacramento. The slow self-help initiative would provide local funding mechanism for transportation infrastructure that is controlled locally, funded as much by visitors as by our local citizens. Over half of the money and the sales tax will be generated by visitors to our communities. Monitored by the public, audited by an independent CPA, and it sunsets after 9 years. Atascadero would benefit by receiving funds that would be completely under control by the city, as well as benefit through the regional projects and the bike and pedestrian projects, as well as other funding for the public transportation. This is an investment that would pay big dividends. The Federal Highway Administration just recently reported that every dollar spent on transportation returns $5.20 when only considering reduced vehicle maintenance costs, reduced gas consumption, traffic delays and crashes, and other ancillary benefits. In addition, it is also well known that economic multiplier to the local economy from the transportation spending is at least 2-to-1, providing economic stimulus to other business and local and providing local jobs. So I strongly urge the council to support the investment plan and allow the voters to decide if this is an investment they are willing to make. Thank you.
Thank you. And I do want to remind all of us that we're actually not voting on this as a tax or even to put it on the ballot. We are voting tonight if we approve of this investment plan of where we would spend the money if it was approved. That's the County Board of Supervisors' decision. So with that, we welcome all of your input. State your. We may pull that down just a hair. And just please state your name for the record.
I'm Carolyn Atkinson. And I just wanted to address a couple things, and then I have questions for Mr. DeCarli. With the January budget analysis that the governor's transportation plan was that it would increase taxes on California drivers by $3 billion. Combining the proposed gas tax is a $10 vehicle licensing fee and $65 registration fee increase. And the governor also has other proposals that will raise costs for a two-car family by over $250 a year. So those are just some of the things that are coming our way. A report by the California State Auditor a couple months ago concluded that primary responsibility of Caltrans maintenance of our highway is not being executed in a manner that is even close to being efficient or competent. This audit reinforces the fact that our bad roads are not the result of lack of funding. They're a result of a lack of competence at Caltrans. And from what I understand, Caltrans is overstaffed by 3,500 employees, costing California taxpayers over $500 million a year. Now I have some questions for Mr. DeCarli. What if this doesn't pass? What's the backup plan for the county? And I was told that there wasn't going to be any interaction with Caltrans because with the regional projects because no road widening was going to happen. But according to Pismo Beach, they're assuming there is road widening on the Highway 101. The other thing is if there's not enough in the 55%, it doesn't cover the cost of the bringing roads up to the right conditions. And maintaining them, how would that be addressed if they don't have enough for that? Would they be able to use money from the special projects? And what if it's the tax isn't as much as expected, such as what's happening with the state and their cap and trade program? They're not getting what they anticipated. And people might start shopping online instead of paying the cost of local merchants and the county taxes.
Thank you. And we will accumulate all questions you have. We'll ask staff to address those at the end of public comment. So we will get to your questions. Welcome. Next speaker, please. And just state your name for the record.
Good evening. My name is Sandy Tandler, and I live in Morro Bay, and I'm here tonight to represent the Central Coast Taxpayers Association. First, I would like to emphasize that the Central Coast Taxpayers Association declined the invitation to be on the Oversight Committee if the tax passes in November. CCTA did not want to confuse the voters and have them think CCTA was endorsing the sales tax by being on the Oversight Committee. That being said, I am sorry that the citizens of this county will be spending $300,000 to put the self-help sales tax on the November ballot. That money could be used to repair our local roads. This tax will hurt the many seniors who are on fixed incomes and also the poor. So many taxes intended for roads have been diverted by the governor and the legislators. One example is the truck weight fees. These fees alone amount to $1 billion a year that the state could use on our roads. The truck weight fees should be reinstated instead of diverted to the state's general fund for projects such as the bullet train in the Central Valley. Those Sacramento politicos have mismanaged funds for our transportation infrastructure and are now asking you to carry their water by placing an additional tax on your constituents. And I'm shocked when I see that 84% of Californians live in a self-help county. My God, what happened to people fighting back? I don't get it. I think this is enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, next speaker.
My name is Kathy Redden. I'm a resident of Atascadero. In May, the state pulled a lot of money from local transportation projects. Atascadero has many miles of roads, and additional funding would definitely help our projects. We need more local control and more another local funding source to help us with those projects. And I have a little story I encountered recently. I was at a tire store in Atascadero, and one of the employees said, residents pay a higher cost for tires and other repairs due to the poor roads that we have. So I'd rather pay a little bit extra in taxes rather than have to replace my tires more often. So please, I support this measure and the investment plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
For the record, Arthur Izzo. Good evening, Council, Mayor. I'm with the Labor's International Union of North America, specifically Labor and political rep for Local 220, which covers Santa Barbara, SLO, and Kern. I had a whole presentation understanding that this is just for the financial plan, and also we share a lot of the same talking points. So I'm going to just, you know, freely speak from the heart in regards to some of the opposition, and with all due respect to each and every one of our opinions. And some of the opposition has been the same as, you know, we've spoken in front of the Board of Supervisors, and we've also, as a union, spoke on behalf, you know, in counties like San Diego and Ventura where this has passed. I think the issue is the same opposition and the same concern for what the state is doing or lack thereof. And I think the reality of the situation is there's things in our control, things out of our control. For example, a great contractor like Cal Portland would love to sign them. Reality, probably not going to happen. Would love for the state to release all the funds because road work, it's our lifeline. Reality, not going to happen. So as an official of the union, the same way that you guys are elected officials, gentlemen and women, it's our job to find another avenue in order to keep our members working, supporting their family. The same thing, I think all of our responsibility is to better the lives of our citizens, our members, our community as a whole. The reality is we're not going to change the state of affairs with Sacramento and the state. So we can keep embracing problems, which are, for lack of a better term, they're holding taxpayer money ransom, they're holding a hostage, they're basically forcing you to become self-help in order to take care of yourself. It's all true. I don't think anyone in here would object to that or say that it's not true. The reality is, do any of us have a solution? Instead of embracing the problem, we need to start embracing solutions. And the problem is, I don't think any of us, in going from county to county, no matter how powerful a county is, has the power to change what's happening in Sacramento. So we can say that we're enabling it, but when you take a, you know, take a parent, for example, when a parent enables a certain behavior, they also have the power to stop that behavior through course of action. I don't see any immediate course of action or anywhere near the immediate future where we can get back taxpayer money that's being held at a state level, Sacramento, whatever have you, in order to take care of what's at hand. So the option is we can keep embracing the problem. Meanwhile, the roads are going to continue to get worse. We're not going to get the funding back. Jobs are not going to be created for a working middle class. You know, eventually Diablo is going to, you know, shut down. Or we can take it upon ourselves. And the reality is, are they creating an entire state of self-help counties? Absolutely. But then if you don't jump on that bus, no pun intended, which is already going down the road, then again, you're going to be more victim of even more punishment, so to speak. So I think generally speaking, we just need to start embracing a solution rather than this repetitive of embracing the problem, which we're all aware of. Thank you.
Thank you. If you've noticed, I've given a little leeway to time restraints. Everyone's been respectful of not overly abusing that. So we do welcome your comments. We'll take the time. Welcome. Please state your name for the record.
Mayor O'Malley and Council, my name is Clint Pierce and live in San Luis Obispo. Thanks for letting me speak. I'm in strong support of this investment plan. And I think there's a common theme. I mean, it's pretty obvious there's a common theme. We're all frustrated and very upset with Sacramento and how they've managed our affairs. I mean, it's not their affairs, it's our affairs. But I think the reality is that isn't going to change. They're going to continue doing that because there's no reason for them to stop. They've proven that this is the way they're going to go, and that is reality. But there's a light at the end of this dark tunnel, and that's the self-help. You know, that's a way for us to take control back and protect our own future. A lot of this, 50% thereabouts, is brought in by others. It's not even paid by us. So, you know, we're leveraging funds right there. I feel like I saw this before, and I thought it was a pretty good plan back then. It's even better now, especially for Atascadero. I think this is, in fact, a great deal for Atascadero. But I think this is really good for our county. I think it's great for Atascadero. It gets control here locally, and we can take care of our own needs. So I sure hope that you move forward with this. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. My name is Brad Breckwald, longtime resident, San Luis Obispo.
You're a little taller than some of the others.
Sorry. Well, Clint's taller than I am. So. Anyway, I've been tracking this issue about funding sources for infrastructure construction in San Luis County for several years. I'm a civil engineer. I'm involved in Economic Vitality Corporation's Building Design and Construction Cluster. I'm also a board member of the Home Builders Association and other groups that are involved in trying to figure out how we can get more housing on the Central Coast as well as meet our infrastructure needs. One of the things I've learned over the last 3 years especially is when meeting with county public works staff and other agency staff about funding sources for infrastructure, I've seen a constant theme of it going down. I think it was about a year ago that Mr. DeCarli presented at a chamber meeting where state was pulling more money back from what they've traditionally provided to San Luis Obispo County, and it's only gotten worse since then. So I see the self-help measure as being a critical measure for us to consider as a community to help get local control and help us as citizens be able to get some of the infrastructure built and eventually some of the housing that we're going to need, because we're not going to see projects move forward in this county if there's not infrastructure to support them. So that's one of the primary focuses that I wanted to present tonight. Also, you received a letter from the Home Builders Association, the executive director, showing support of this expenditure plan going forward on behalf of our 140 members, as well as the 1,000 member or head of household jobs that it creates. So I just wanted to present that to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening. My name is Chris Gardner. I'm a resident of Los Osos, just over on 41. And I have the perspective of living in a community that waited 25, 30 years trying to get the state and the feds to solve our problems.
And just couldn't resist. Yeah.
We eventually had to tax ourselves to get a sewer system in. And believe me, when you showed your graph here earlier of your sewer rates, I was about to cry because, you know, I'm going to be paying $150, $200 a month for sewer. So count your blessings there. I've already paid about $6,000 in increased property taxes. That said, I'm happy to do so because I've seen the benefit of self-taxing. And I've right now, you can go into Los Osos and drive the roads. We have beautiful roads. So, and that, you know, hasn't happened. And that did not happen because of the state or, you know, the feds. So that happened because we tax ourselves. I would have loved to share some of that expense with all those people driving through on LOVR, going to Montana, Oro, all those tourists, those thousands and thousands of trips every day going out there, and they don't pay any of that. So I would strongly recommend that you support this measure. So.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening, Council. My name is George Aguilar. I'm a civil engineer. I have been focused in transportation for approximately 30 years. And first and foremost, I want to get right to the point. I support this spending plan, and I think that's really what we're, the question is today. Is this a good spending plan? Assuming there is money, is this a good spending plan? So I just want to be very clear about that. I also wanted to share some information, as I've spoken with you all in the past. This is a report from the American Society of Civil Engineers. It's entitled Failure to Act. It is a current issue of reports that have come out since 1998. And it talks about how the nation's failure to act to improve the conditions of infrastructure is hurting our economy. It talks about the backbone of our economy being based on our infrastructure. And it further talks about the cost of bad infrastructure to families on the individual level being somewhere in the neighborhood of $3,400 each year. This is abysmal. This is not just transportation, but this is across the board. We've heard figures of $500 and change, depending on where you live in the state. It could be $700, $900. If we don't act, that number goes up. If we don't act, we're on that curve to go down, and the roads deteriorate to levels where you triple, quadruple magnitudes changes. This does not fill the gap. This measure will not fill the gap of all the need, but it does something. Just like the city has done in passing measures to be able to fund some improvements, you couldn't do all the improvements, but you did something. We can't afford to continue on the course of failure to act. I also want to talk about the population in California. In 1960, it was roughly 16 million people. In 2014, it was roughly 39 million people. In the 1950s and 60s, 20 cents out of every tax dollar was invested in infrastructure. In the 1980s, it was less than 5 cents. In 2010, it's less than 1 cent. That's failure to act. The state sales tax has been going down. The excise tax has been going down. The revenues are going down. Vehicle miles traveled are going up. It's a gap that you saw in the presentation earlier of the graph. So we have to do something. Enabling isn't really the issue, in my opinion, with all due respect, and I do share a lot of the opinions of my fellow taxpayers and the Central Coast Taxpayers Associations and others and yourselves. Sacramento is broken. Washington, D.C. is broken. But just because they're broken doesn't mean we are. We need to do something. And this is an option. Maybe it's not the best option, but it's an option for us to help ourselves. And I'm a big proponent on helping yourself. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Now's your chance, because once we close public comment, we will not be reopening it this evening. So any other comments on this topic? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. There were a couple of questions directed to staff. So I'm going to ask our city manager to kind of triage that a bit. Or if you want to turn that over to the city engineer, that's fine. But if you would address any questions directly raised for staff or comments that you think you can shed some light on, anything that you heard, and then we'll bring it back to council.
I am actually going to turn it over to Mr. DeCarli. I saw him furiously scribbling out notes. I did scribble out some notes, so if there are some that he missed, I will prompt that if that works.
There was a number of questions. It was some really good comments raised, I think, from everyone. There is a question that the governor has a $3 billion program, $10 vehicle license fee, $65 vehicle registration fee, whole variety of recommendations, absolutely true. So the governor does have a program, and I think that was accurately reflected. Has it been initiated, enacted? No. Will it be enacted? I seriously doubt it. Perhaps some aspect of it. So that was one thing. Yeah, the governor does have a proposal. The real key is, do we have a bill that's been enacted? And right now, all the legislation to policy committees, nothing's passed. The governor established an extraordinary session. The big push was in the governor's budget. Nothing happened. The extraordinary session now has till November 30th to act. There's not even a consensus bill yet. It's been in effect for a year and a half. So we'll see what happens. What happens if it doesn't pass? There's discussions that in the city of Pismo Beach, they're considering improving and widening Highway 101. We as an agency took all the remaining federal money and state money we had last December. Congestion mitigation, air quality, surface transportation program money, pulled it all together to fund $3 million of advanced development work on Highway 101. We're starting that process. If you don't get it started, it never happens. Do I have a funding plan to fund it? No. I have funding to do the advanced development work so we get a project ready, so we can do the scoping, so we know what it costs. If we don't have that, we never get anything. But do I have a funding plan after that? We're going to be asking Caltrans in a project. It really starts, we did a financial feasibility study last year, so we're now starting. Caltrans will start that process in July. So we will, over the next year, move forward. We will be advocating that break it into small pieces. It's a $35 million project right now. This measure program's $20 million. It's not enough. But we're trying to identify leverage projects, just pieces of projects. 55%, does it cover the cost of bringing up all the roads up to the standards you'd like? The answer is no. You'd have to take all the money to make it work, but then that doesn't address some of the other regional needs also. So we as a regional agency is looking at trying to balance off all the needs together. What happens, it's a really good question, what happens if the dollars go down? We've identified up here $5.6 million for subregions for bike and ped, $20 million for South County. In the plan, we've converted all those percentages because the reality is funding goes up and down in sales tax. If we're on a climb, the money goes up. If it starts declining, the money will go down. We've taken all these, are all percentages. So it will remain fair and equitable, whatever, and hopefully it continues to go up. But we know every decade or so, we do have a decline also. And I think there's a question about the truck weight fees. $1 billion that has been diverted, and that's true. $1 billion has been diverted. It used to go into highway improvements. It's now paying for the $20 billion transportation bond measure that was passed in 2008. The cost is $1 billion a year to pay for that interest. We never supported doing a bond, our agency, as an example, because you got to pay for it. So that cost is $1 billion a year. When it was originally programmed and advocated, it was to come out of the general fund. As soon as the recession hit, it went and it was diverted to the truck weight fees. Is this governor going to change it? His strong stance is absolutely no way. Is the League of California Cities, is all the other agencies advocating it? Absolutely. But it needs a governor's signature. And, you know, I just don't see that happening. I think those were all the key questions or issues that I saw. Unless there was some others anyone had, I'd be happy to answer.
You got all the ones that I had, including some extras.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to bring it back to the council. Any questions or comments by council? Well, let me just mention a couple things, because I've been involved in this discussion for a long time, sitting on San Luis Council of Governments. I think everyone agrees there is a need. We need to try to meet it somehow. Maybe the state will get around to voting on meeting the need when it gets drastic enough, though it sounds like over 80% of the 84% of the population of the state said, well, we've come up with another plan. We will be looking to the county Board of Supervisors to possibly put it on the ballot, and if so, we're going to look to 67% of the voters, 67% of the voters in our community to decide if this is the right thing to do or not for our county. That's a bigger percentage than the state legislature would use to vote on anything. I would trust 67% of our voters to make a decision better than I would trust 55% of state legislatures to come up with a plan. Interesting to me, the concerns I've heard about roads is, I mean, this kind of, it really sticks out in my mind, because one, we're saying Caltrans has mismanaged funds. Okay. Caltrans is incompetent. They're overstaffed. Okay. State has redirected road money to places somewhere else. Okay. Could be true. I'm thinking it's probably some merit. You know what the miracle is? The state has actually reduced money going to roads. So they've actually reduced the tax amount. I don't know how that happened, but you know what? Why are we even hoping to lobby the state to come up with a solution? If we really think they mismanage funds, they're incompetent and overstaffed, and divert funds elsewhere, why are we even asking them to do anything? I think this is a chance to shift it to local control, which we've done a heck of a lot better job. We've got a heck of a lot more accountability at a local level, and it's a use tax. If you use it, it's going to cost you. And I understand that it's a challenge for fixed income, but fixed income folks have been nickel and dimed to death, and I think this is a way that you actually see some return on that investment. And quite frankly, besides, you know, the things of reducing your vehicle maintenance, this, what we need is, I believe, for every community to be as independent as we possibly can, and that's only going to happen by investing in economic engines in our communities. By doing this infrastructure investment, I believe it will stimulate our economy. And so I think I would personally like to see this go forward, but I'm just going to be one of those 67 voters if it's even put on the ballot by the Board of Supervisors. But what's important is, if we take that investment, I'm really concerned the price of doing nothing, the price of wishful thinking that someday, if you think there's any hope that the state is going to do anything different than it's done for the last 20 years, if you want to wait, it's not really hurting them, because they've already decided they're not going to do anything. It's our roads, and it's our responsibility that every day that goes by, every more usage, every time those big trucks go over those roads, the damage is occurring more, and the cost of maintaining those roads is escalating. That is going up at a faster rate than we can do anything about, and we're going to be stuck with that at an escalating rate. So I think, again, I would trust local voters and local jurisdictions to make better decisions, more timely, and be more accountable to those local voters. So I'm really kind of hoping that this goes forward, but that's not what we're voting on tonight. Tonight, what we're going to vote on is, if the Board of Supervisors gets this on the ballot, would we spend the money like we've said we would? Well, we've done that with our F-14 and you know, I think we could do that with these funds. So with that, if there's no more council discussion or questions, we can I'll leave it to other council members to make a motion or add some questions. Now, first I'm going to ask again, maybe our city engineer, just restate exactly what we're voting on tonight. You had done it in your earlier opening comments.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor O'Malley. Tonight, what SLOCOG is asking through city staff is that this investment plan that was attached to your report, if this does make it on the ballot, if the voters, you know, approve this 67%, is this the plan that, are you supportive of this plan of how to spend this money that would be raised from this potential sales tax measure, which also includes some of the safeguards with the oversight committee and the maintenance of effort and some of these other attachments with the investment plan that's attached to your report.
And is our city clerk satisfied with that statement of what we're voting on now?
Yes, and I think it's that you will be approving, you'll be adopting the resolution to approve that.
Thank you.
Very well. It's actually, this plan has been taken, all the council's input, ours as well as all the other cities, is taken into account, all the public workshops. It's taken a lot of information that if voters approve of this tax, all we're doing is saying that this investment plan is basically an overview of how we're going to spend it, because you mentioned it was going to be more specific. We had to be very specific in the amounts, is what was said by our staff. So in the generalization, it has been very well vetted out, and I would certainly make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation. The council adopt the draft resolution approving the San Luis Obispo County Self-Help Local Transportation Investment Plan.
As we are voting on the investment plan, and my responsibility is to the citizens of Atascadero, and if this were passed, how do we want this money to be invested in our community? I will therefore second this motion.
Any further discussion? I'll ask for a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
No.
Councilmember Kelly?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes 3-2.
Thank you, and thank you all for your input this evening and coming out. The next item on the agenda is council announcements and reports. I have a feeling we're going to go fairly quickly through this, and it would suggest we might need a break, but I think we can get through this. So I'm just going to go from my left to my right, and again, as much as I try to separate these out, I'm not going to do it again. If you have a council announcement or report or a committee report you'd like to give, go ahead and do that. Councilman Kelly? I hope you enjoyed your vacation anyway.
Enjoyed my vacation thoroughly, and hopefully I can take another one.
Well, don't be too quick. We still have some, though we do get a week off. So while we're at it, what week are we taking off this summer? So Councilman Kelly can plan another trip.
I went over that with the city manager.
You already got your...
I'll say I spent 3 weeks in Oregon. And I'm learning more and more how Oregon can operate without all of the problems that California have for a much reduced cost to the taxpayer. So hopefully I can bring back some more information for you, and hopefully we can make things work.
Well, you might want to just keep up that research, because as I always say, sorry you live in California, but there are other states that do things different. Thank you. Councilman Moreno.
Well, if we're taking that kind of a liberty, I would like to say.
Yes. Go ahead.
I would love to see, whether it's organizations like CCTA getting together with other taxpaying organizations throughout the state or other concerned groups and really going to the citizens, because it's the citizens, the voters in California, are the only ones that will ever have the power to change, because you have the power to change the legislature. And as long as we have the legislature, the mix that we do, things will never change in California.
Yes.
And so unless we go to the voters and they understand very clearly, not just partisan politics, not just
you know, one-liners and grandstanding, but really down into, like, very simplistically, here's what is happening, and here's what should happen, and makes sense to them, right? Because they're busy, they're raising families, they're working, and they don't get down into all these policy details, but make it very easy to understand so they can say, yeah, is that what my representative's doing? No, thank you. And start to change the legislature. That's the only way this works. Anyway. With regards to any reports with the EVC, we were doing strategic planning and working on that over the next few months, and I've been involved with that, specifically the messaging portion of it. So I'm excited about the things we have going there, and I'll report as that comes about. Let's see. Went to the Lake Fest with Councilmember Fonzie, and they were having cardboard boat races. And ahead of time, I thought, well, how's this going to work? That really can't work very well. Well, when you use a lot of duct tape, it really can.
Duct tape.
So there is this one boat with two kids in it, like a 10 and 11-year-old. I had plenty of duct tape, and they made it all the way out to the little buoy and back. I was amazed. So that was pretty impressive. So thanks to the Friends of the Atascadero Lake for putting that on. And, of course, mayors and winemakers, well, I'll let you talk about it with Kiwanis. The Atascadero Lakeside Wine Festival, what a wonderful job. I volunteered again this year. My husband and I did. And every vendor that we talked to, it's just their favorite event to be at. It was the 21st annual. And they're always commenting how much they really like to be at the one in Atascadero, because we don't have just these throngs of people hustling and bustling and drunk and getting in fights and things like that. It was very well attended and just a really wonderful event that the community really enjoyed and visitors alike. So I think I'll let that be my report.
Thank you. Councilman Fonzie?
No report.
And before you begin, Councilman Sturdivant, I did receive an email. It's something that we didn't take action on as a council, but we individually did have some input with the State Lands Commission that met today, and did receive an email from John Scholes that today the State Lands Commission approved by a 3-0 vote our request to extend the leases necessary for the Diablo Canyon Power Plant to operate until the end of its original operating licenses in 2024 and 2025. There was a serious possibility that there could be an action that would have created a much sooner closure, and I've heard actually from Councilman Fonzie's husband spoke at a meeting I was at today of what the impact was to our city. It was pretty huge. So, and I know that the council members as individuals did offer some input, and I did want to preface that so that maybe you could kind of comment a little bit about that, just as far as impact to the city, and that means, and then any other report you'd like to give.
Well, I was very clear to the commission that there were separate letters coming, but they would not have them for today's meeting because everything was basically by the time that the testimony started, that was everything was closed. So I read the letter of support into the record, in the public record, and I let them know that not, you know, we need time to be able to, on the work side, we have people that need to be retrained and we have families, and there's a whole lot to do when you have 1,300 people in decommissioning. That's one side. The other side is our city and the planning that we need to do, because we don't really know what that's going to look like at this point in time when it comes to loss of jobs, head of household jobs, real estate, what exactly when it comes to property taxes, as that all vets out throughout the county, we are going to be affected here in Atascadero. So I was able to share with them as a council member. I spoke to them as a council member, and they were very receptive. They were very respectful, and the day went very well. There was a lot of testimony. The testimony started at 10:30 and it ended at 4:30, so there's a lot of testimony on all sides, and in the end it was 3-0, and it was very well deliberated. I was pleasantly surprised at their attitude and the way that they looked at the facts, and especially me being council member on one side and family member and a worker at Diablo on the other. I'm kind of torn between the two because I want to make sure that our city that we're taking care of, I want to make sure that there's no ramifications that financially there will be some, but we have to mitigate that, and I'm not quite certain in how we're all going to do that, but economic development is a must, not only in our city but in our county. We're going to have to step that up, and I know that Councilmember Moreno mentioned that. I know the EVC had talked about that. There were comments in today's meeting from the, I think, someone from the EVC, Mr. Manchek, was there.
Mm-hmm.
He had mentioned that as well. So we're going to have to change the way we think about business, about attracting business, and about keeping business, and about shopping locally. It's going to be very important as these years transpire. So there'll be more to come. But the good thing is, at least we have the extension of the leases. That means we can operate up till 2025. And then that gives us the time to be able to get renewables online. And the other thing I shared with them is that we do not want our nuclear power to go away and to be filled with non-greenhouse gas-free electricity, which will take away all the hard work we've done for the climate action plans in this entire county and the state of California. So we need those renewables to come online. We need the time to do that, and we need the time to transition for the workforce, communities, families, and these our resources. So it was a good day.
Thank you. Well,
thank you for your support. I really do appreciate that.
Well, thank you for your efforts, too, in representing us.
And I will make no report tonight. Any staff input? And then with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.